Father, we give you praise. Because you are good and your mercy is real. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your leading. Thank you for your backing. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for this encounter today. Thank you for guiding us unto yourself because you want to know you. Thank you for the success of yesterday's sessions. Thank you because of today, because you do greater things. Lord, move us forward in your way. In the name of Jesus. I want to pray one prayer for yourself. Lord, send my own word this morning. Cause me to have an encounter with you, my Lord, this morning. Open your mouth and pray for yourself. Lead up to Shana, mind the passages. Lord, send me your word today. Send me your word this morning. I desire an encounter with you by your word. Thank you, Lord Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be comfortable, sit up, put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Please allow us to come forward, except for one person at the reception. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. I'll be reading from verse 2 to 5, and I'll be reading the Amplified Version. I hope we had a good night rest. Or a good night prayer. Or a good night fasting, whichever one you want. I'm sure at least somebody here, you know this will be blessing to them, so it was a good night's night. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 12, I'll read from verse 1, so from verse 2 to 5. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endure the cross. Yesterday we talked about endurance. Endure the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. Verse 4. You have not yet struggled and fought agonizingly against sin, nor have you yet resisted and withstood to the point of pouring out your own blood. Verse 5. And you have completely forgotten the divine word or appeal and encouragement in which you are reasoning with and address our sons. My son, do not think lightly or scorn to submit to the correction and discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage and give up and faint when you are reproved or corrected by him. Lord, bless your word in the name of Jesus. This morning I'll be talking to us on living through tough times. Living through tough times. Living through tough times. Tough times signify tough people, tough situations, times of disappointment, times of loneliness, times of pain, times of sacrifice. Living through tough times. Every believer is a leader. Salvation is an initiation into leadership. Mark chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, Jesus appointed 12 that they may be with him and that he may send them forth to go and preach. Salvation is an initiation into leadership. Every believer is a potential leader. And in leadership, there are 12 times. There are people that can be tough to lead. our Christian journey, our journey with Christ. In our journey with Christ, we'll be faced with times of turbulence, time of trouble, we'll encounter difficult people, difficult times. The Bible refers this season to our seasons of wilderness. And even when we are out of the season of wilderness, in the land of promise, there are giants. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There will be times of difficult decisions, times of hunger. How many of us can attest to that? And the work has to go on. You know, sometimes your president can give you work to do, but because of hunger, you didn't eat. And you know, at least one person understands what I'm talking about there. You are so hungry that you couldn't do the assignment. There was no energy for you to start. Imagine you have been fasting for 7 days. This man is still telling me this hunger to go and fix that place. Or to go and carry out that assignment. For what? Praise God. You know, there are times of littleness. Praise God. So how do we continue to lead? Leadership is not always present. Jesus had his own seasons of crisis, tough decisions, seasons of loneliness. Matthew chapter 26, the Bible says that Jesus said, "Can't you pray with me for 1 hour?" In this season of hardship, can't you support me in prayers? So what strategies did Jesus employ to lead, to continue leading? There are times. You know, there was a time when the hand of Moses was weak. Hallelujah. There are times when the hand of Moses was what? Was weak, was sleeping. Even if you pray throughout the night, there's no sleep. Tell yourself, my friend. Tell yourself, my friend. No sleep. Praise God. So what strategies did Jesus employ in a season of tough times? Number one, a dedicated prayer life. A dedicated prayer life. If you look at the book of Matthew chapter 26, from verse 36 to 34, Jesus engaged in dedicated prayers as his time of crucifixion approached. He was not alone, however. From verse 36, then Jesus went up with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he told his disciples, "Sit down here while I go over yonder and pray." And taking with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, he began to show grief and distress of mind, and was deeply distressed. This was a tough time for Jesus. Listen, there are times of depression in leadership. And let me say this to you. You see, as a follower or as a leader at your own level, sensitivity demands that you should know your leader's time of grief, depression, loneliness. This work of the kingdom will prosper in unity. You know, there was a time when Jesus was arrested, the Bible says that all the disciples deserted him. Have you read it in the Bible before? There were times when the 12 disciples, they questioned Jesus. They said, "What? Are they come out to himself, God also?" Amen. But the Bible says that Peter followed Jesus from afar. Verse 39, Matthew 26. And going a little further, he threw himself upon the ground with his face and prayed, saying, "Father, it is possible, let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done." That was Jesus' will. Verse 40. And he came unto his disciples and finding them what? Sleeping. They were having a good night's sleep. And he said unto Peter, he said to the general secretary, Peter was the general secretary, "What? Couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? In my season of distress, at the time when my hand is weak, couldn't you watch with me?" But verse 41, All of you must keep away. Verse 42, again the second time, he went away and prayed. If you read on to verse 46, the Bible says, he came back a third time, he went again to pray. You generate strength as a leader when you lead a dedicated life. Listen to me carefully. Any leader that doesn't pray will fail in leadership, especially as a spiritual leader. If you find it difficult to pray, you will find it difficult to lead. Because you generate spiritual momentum when you pray. Jude chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, building up your most holy faith. How? By praying in the Holy Ghost. We are in tough times, we are in tough seasons. You don't even need to wait for difficulty to come your way. We are in a season, we are in the end time, and it is getting more difficult. In our offices, our careers, our businesses, is becoming more difficult not to collect right. Hallelujah. It's as if everybody is doing it. In fact, if you are following Jesus in the office, you may look like, wait till they do this one. Am I making sense? Even in offices where there are business. In fact, I've worked in a place before that. If you don't have a girlfriend, they will be looking at you as, is this guy okay? This guy, you just say you get this the way God made everybody else. You don't get girlfriend. You don't get girlfriend. You find like this. You just say this the way your leg too. Wait till there's a news on you. And you see, the enemy is polluting the nations of the earth further and further every day. If you will continue and not let go, you must learn how to live a dedicated life. I perceive that Jesus, in his grief, in Matthew 26, prayed. He will come and check. You will see them sleeping. He went back. In prayers, you generate momentum to stand. Hallelujah. In prayers, you do what? You generate momentum to stand through your season of trial. The best time to pray is in your season of trial. Jesus prayed in order to overcome depression. Jesus prayed in order to overcome his times of compassion. I'm talking about living through tough times. If you will go through tough times successfully, listen to me. One of the reasons why there are tough times is to test your faith. And the Bible says, if you want to build your most holy faith, you do what? You pray in the Holy Ghost. So if your faith must be built to go through tough times, you must learn how to do it. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. Any leader without the Holy Spirit will lose that day crash. Take it from me. Any leader that does not learn how to refill himself and build himself in the Holy Ghost will most likely crash. Will most likely do what? Crash. So cultivate the lifestyle of praying, even in your time of loneliness. I beg you to say, I don't feel like praying. You don't need to feel like praying. Just pray. You know that times when you feel like praying, yes, I feel like praying, even that time you do pray. Hello? I want you to think about yourself. There are times when you feel like praying, yes or no? But you know that times when you feel like praying and you don't pray, you say, man, I feel like praying, what? 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 And you're excited, I let you know. Please go. So here, am I talking to you? I'm not talking to you. You know that times when you're so excited, like Matthew's night, you're so excited with your wife, say, man, I feel like praying. And the guy, but they are very good. But you say you did not pray. Praise God. You did not pray. So prayer is not a function of your feeling. Prayer is a function of your understanding and and a sense of responsibility and commitment to the delivery of God's destiny for your life. A sense of responsibility comes to you. Jesus prayed in order to keep, remain in leadership in tough times. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, pray. Number two, Jesus' strategy for living in tough times. Number two, stay reminded of God's will and promises. Stay reminded of God's will and God's promises. Stay reminded of God's will and God's promises. Tough times come to test us, not to sink us. God does not tempt us. The wilderness journey from Egypt to Canaan was not punitive, it was education. It was not to punish them, it was to teach them. God does not lead us into tough times in order to punish us, but in order to teach us and to train us. So the wilderness experience was not punitive, it was education. Hallelujah. Hello, sir. Have you registered? Will you give me your daughter? Please go. God allows tough times so as to do us good. Deuteronomy 8:16. I'd like us to read Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 16. If you are there, you can read Deuteronomy, chapter Numbers, before Joshua, chapter 8, verse 16. I read from Amplified. No fear be in the wilderness of Manna, which your father the Lord, that he might humble you and test you to do you in the name. Every tough season that God allows you to go through, at the end, there's a reward. But the question is this: will you end well? Somebody say, I will end well. The theme of this year's National Electoral Leaders is the end. And the priority at the end is to finish strong. Yes or no? So the Lord says, the Lord fed you with manna in the wilderness. He took you to the wilderness to test you, to train you, so that at the end he will give you. Listen to me. Every tough time is an anticipated time for you. Never forget. Forgetfulness is the strategy of the devil. You see, there is a tendency to forget that this thing you are going through is for you. In fact, the devil knows that when you forget, we just read Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says Jesus, fixing his eyes on the promise, he generated, he did not forget that there is a promise. He did not forget that this cross, listen to me, Jesus did not come to die. Jesus came to rise. The death was just the pathway to rise. Jesus did not forget that I did not come to die. I came to rise. And in order for me to rise, I must die. You must learn how not to forget the promise. Because in fixing your eyes on the promise, you generate strength to go through the path. You didn't understand that. Forgetfulness is a strategy of the devil. The Lord told Moses, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. That what? I will tell you. God told Moses, tell Israel, he said, I'm taking you to a land of meat and honey. Sir, in the wilderness they forgot. We are hungry. Moses, why do you bring us to this place to kill us with hunger? They are forgotten that God's intention is not to kill them, but to take them to the land of meat and honey. When you forget the promise, you will complain in your trials. You must stay reminded that whatever you go through in this Christian race, there is a glory waiting for you. Hallelujah. Is someone excited? Give Jesus a good hand. Hallelujah. Every tough time is a process for our never forget. Tell yourself, never forget. My wife asked me one day, praise God. I give Jesus Christ. Today marks the 10th anniversary of the return mandate. This ministry. Come on, put your hands together, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 15th December 2007, I got this mandate from the Lord. I said, go to the north and raise me. Bring the north and bring one men to me. The Return Global Church is standing upon this mandate. Go to the north, raise me, kingdom chapters. Bring my church and bring all men to me. For 10 years, God has been faithful to us as a commission. We first in the state, then Lagos state, and then God brought us towards the side. And God has been faithful. Praise God. We have had our share of tough times. One day my wife asked me, you were still caught in there. She said, what gives you strength? I said, what I see is not what everybody sees. I keep my eyes on the promises. I keep my eyes on the end. So what I have to pass through in these verses doesn't matter to me. The Bible said Jesus keeping his eyes on the promise, he was able to despise the process. Hallelujah. When you keep your eyes on the promise, on the glory, the promises of God, no matter what you are going through, you stay joyful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil will try to make you see contrary. He says, see your life. See your life. Your mattress is flat like a slippers. Dr. Ebeko said that when he started shouting, I shall never be poor. Even his people were in as he said, I know that. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I saw the first signpost of Winners Chapel in the north. Living faith worldwide. If you see the battle, it was the opposite of worldwide. Hallelujah. Amen. What he will see is different. He said something last session. He said, if the things happening to this ministry were not happening, you will survive because these are the things God told you. The question is, what has God told you? Let me tell you, anytime the devil comes to you, what you want to take is away from you is what God has told you. See as your mattress flat like slippers. And God told me that he is going to give the emotion to you. The devil will try to confuse you so that you don't remember it. Forgetfulness is a strategy of the devil. So how do you overcome this forgetfulness? Learn to write down everything God told you. That's why you got the truth of God. So that through this season of 3 days upon this mountain, as God will be speaking to you for the media and for the future, you will be jotting down the thing. Listen, you can, your brain, even when you have millions of cells, your brain has the lack, the capacity to absorb everything God wants to do. So you must learn how to write down. Every kingdom personality is an author. He said, write down the vision, make it plain on papers. He was talking to the church. Praise God. You must learn how to write down things God is showing and read through them again. And in December, I have a responsibility this month to go over the things God has told me concerning this ministry, to remind myself. I have books written with my hand, the things God has told me. Some of you have seen them. Books, I call them the archives of revelation. Things God has told me concerning this ministry. Those are the things happening now. We are not feeling like doing a business thing. We are ministry. Long time ago. Long time ago. Long time ago. Praise God. So don't forget those promises. And the things he has told you personally. Remind yourself every time of those promises. When you are blessed, remind yourself. coming to Benue State. At a point, my heart was heavy, but I remember God's word that He will keep us and secure us. When I was to come to Benue State, there was serious challenge in Nigeria, challenge of insecurity. Everybody was against me. My family was seriously against my stay back. And it was evident there was crisis in the country. In this part of the country, there is crisis. But God told me, He said, I will keep you. It is a covenant. You hold it. You write it and you remind yourself of it. So when this broadcast and that time that Boko Haram invaded Benue State, I reminded God of His covenant of security and protection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, even when God has given you a covenant, if you don't learn how to obey by faith, you may sleep out of it. It will be a portion in your name, Jesus. It will be a portion in your name, Jesus. Number three. So number one is what? A dedicated prayer life. Living through tough times. A dedicated prayer life. Number two is what? Stay reminded of God's will and promises. God's will. This job is God's will. When I was to stay back in the village, I had the option to go and lecture somewhere down southwest. And the truth is that I was to earn a very fat salary, more than times five of what I was to earn there. Praise God. But was it God's will? That's the question. It was not God's will. Let me tell you something. The Bible says we should follow after Jesus. Yes, amen. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Our steps in this Christian race are a function of the decisions we make. If you don't make decisions to follow Jesus, you are actually standing at the front. When Jesus says, give that salary to God, you take some time to think, yes, amen. And to pray. You are convinced. You take it. You are taking a progressive step towards Jesus. Let me tell you something. You see, it is a race. The Jesus said, I am the way. Every road has a destination. In this Christian race, our destination is God. Please listen carefully. In this Christian race, our destination is what? Where? Who? God. Our destination is not God. Our destination is to grow and become like God upon the earth, because that was His plan at the beginning. And every, how do we grow into God? By taking steps of obedience. And the closer we get to it, the farther we get away from God. You know the challenge of the children of Israel. When they left Egypt, it was far. Many Christians, they don't learn to obey Christ. Go farther away from Egypt. They don't take steps, so it is easy for them to pass light. No. It has always been a strategy of them. That's why when Moses went to Pharaoh, God said, let my people go down in the sabbath. But my mama went out of there, we are talking nonsense. When God started dealing with Pharaoh, one day Pharaoh said, okay, you may go, but don't go far. Have you read it in the Bible? The devil does not have any new strategy. He lacks light. If it is the same way today, when a man gives his life to Christ, the devil doesn't want you to go far, because if you don't go far, it will be easy for you to last. If you are the kind of Christian that you are always backsliding, it's because you have not learned how to go far. And how do you go far? By taking steps of importance to study the word. Let me tell you one of the scriptures that led me into starting a business in the last year. I read it in the Bible, let he that steals steal no more, but let him walk with his hand that he may have to give in the need. I discovered from that scripture that the reason why you work, why God gives you a job, is not for you to eat, it's for you to learn to give. So if your enemy, your giving is not part of it, it's a burden. That's number one. Number two. Let him walk with his hands. The Bible did not tell me that I must finish school before I start working. And when I knew that I was coming towards the northern part, I said, it's better I start working now. So what do I not do? Graphics. Publishing. I said, I have to start a business. I started my company from the revelation of God's word. So what did I do? I took a step. When you study God's word, you discover something and you apply it to your life. You know what you have done? You are taking a step towards Jesus. Find a way. One of the reasons why believers suffer oppression is because they are so close to the devil. Somebody is blessed. Lift up your hands and appreciate the Lord. Thank you, blessed. Let me tell you something. One of the reasons why two believers can sleep in the same room, the devil come oppress them and not oppress them, is because somebody is further from the devil. Somebody is closer to the devil. And the plan of Christ, Ephesians chapter 4. He said that he has given us prophets, apostles, evangelists, teachers, pastors. For what? For the equipping of the saints. That we may grow into full maturity and meet up to the measure of Christ to become like Jesus. Let me tell you something. The more you learn how to go towards Jesus, because you're approaching light, some things will be falling in your way. There are some dangerous things that are happening to me in this journey. Some things will be dropping off your life. You pray. Deliverances will happen in your life. Why not with the broken? Some things, something, because you have learned. Deliverance doesn't only come by prayer. Deliverance also comes by practical Christian life. So always ask yourself, is this God's will? When you have learned how to take decisions according to God's will and promises. So when that job came in Lagos, what account? It was not God's will. You know, it would have been a step from going to Lagos, but it would have been a retarded step. Or maybe not a retarded in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Number three, living through tough times. Stay joyful. What did I say? Number one is a dedicated prayer life. Number two is stay reminded of God's will and God's promises. Number three is stay joyful. Oh, Habakkuk chapter 3 from verse 17 to 19. The Bible says, even though the fig tree does not prosper, and my business is not moving forward, and the government has not paid my salary for 10 months. And that man has not paid me, my money is owing me, even though I work for him. Wicked man. The Bible says, I will stay joyful. I like to open my book at that point, verse 17. I like somebody to read. 17 to 19. See, their promises, listen, their dividends of staying joyful, regardless of whatever you go through. Habakkuk chapter 3. Can so you read verse 17 to 19? You are not reading.
You are listening. Chapter 3.
Yes, 17 to 19.
Although the fig tree shall not blossom,
I invested, I did not see anything inside.
Neither shall fruit be in the vine.
I have been expecting this, my farm produce will live in you.
The labor of the olive shall fail.
Third, the labor of the olive shall fail.
And a few shall you know it.
Continue.
The flock shall be cut off from the fold,
oh,
and there shall be no head in the staff.
Even when all these things happen,
yet I will rejoice in the Lord.
Yet I will rejoice in the Lord.
I will joy in the God of my
salvation. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Then what will happen?
The Lord God is my strength.
The Lord will give me strength through these things. Listen, keep quiet. Even when these things are happening. The Lord is strengthening me through them when I stay joyful. Listen to me. In this Christian race, if you want to always stay strong, stay joyful. And you cannot be joyful until you are thankful. You cannot be thankful until you are thankful. If you don't know how to think, you can't know how to thank. If you don't know how to thank, you can't be joyful. And if you can't be joyful, you can't be strengthened. You need to be thankful to be thankful. You need to be thankful to be joyful. You need to be joyful in order to be strengthful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. You need to know how to pray
in order to know how to come.
You need to know how to thank God
in order to retain strength. To be joyful.
In order to be strength to God, to be joyful.
Think to thank, to be full of joy, and to be full of strength. Continue, sir. What will happen?
And he will make me to walk upon my high place.
Then God will make me to walk upon my place because I have refused to be cast down.
To the chief singer, may my spirit instrument.
God bless you. Is somebody blessed now?
Yes.
Put your hands together, Jesus. Never let the enemy steal your joy. Hey! Never allow the devil steal your joy. Never. No matter what you go through. Let's say, what's happening? I heard, my friend, there's nothing happening. I'm fine. You didn't hear nothing. You heard what? That is going to be faithful. Let your joy come from the Lord, not from money, not from things of this life. Joyfulness is the secret to retaining God's presence through your dry season. Psalm 22, verse 3, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And you cannot be praiseful if you are not joyful. Hallelujah. Is somebody joyful? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, you have anointed us with all your glories. Thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. So the Lord our God has anointed us with the oil of being joyful. Joyfulness is a function of the anointing. In order for you to stay joyful, you must receive the oil of joyfulness. You see a man, things are not working, yet he's dancing. He has a secret, it is the oil of gladness. When a man learns to stay joyful, God lifts him up. Thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. So the Lord your God has anointed him the oil of gladness and has lifted you above all things. When you learn how to be joyful, you will be scaling heights that your colleagues cannot scale. You will be attaining heights that your colleagues cannot attain. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, come on. I'd like you to pray for yourself. Lift up your right hand and Lord, release your oil of gladness upon my life. Your oil of gladness. Your oil of gladness. The anointing of the Holy Spirit to comfort me and strengthen me to stay joyful regardless of what I face, regardless of what faces me, regardless of tough times, regardless of anything I go through, I receive grace. I receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost to stay joyful. I receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost to stay praiseful. I receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost to stay thankful. Let the Lord begin to lift me up by the oil of gladness. I decree from today, you will never be sorrowful. In the name of Jesus. Number four, and finally, living through tough times. Learn to live in love. What does it?
Learn to live in love.
Let's see the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. I'll read from verse 44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I know many believers don't like reading that verse. I don't know really that. Maybe you are there, but you don't like reading that. They wish not to read that. There's a lot of people. Bible says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. To show that you are children of your Father, who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the wicked and the good, and makes the rain fall upon the upright and the wrongdoers. For if you love those who love you, what reward can you have? Do not even tax collectors with that. And if you greet only your own brethren, what more than others are you doing? Do not even reject us. Do that. You therefore must be perfect. going into complete maturity of godliness in mind and heart, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity, as we want to understand it. There are three dimensions of love. Number one, the love of God. That's it. Three dimensions of love. Number one, the love of God. Number two, the love for people. Love your neighbors as yourself. What does that mean? The way you will love other, the way you love yourself, you love other people. The third dimension is love for others. I'd like to remind us, as career people, as ministers of the gospel, as workplace ministers, as representatives of Christ in the workplace, I'd like to remind us that the enmity of the world towards us is not an excuse not to win the world. We need to get this. The enmity of the world is not an excuse not to bring them to Jesus. The Bible says that love conquers a multitude of sin, even the sin of the world. It was love that kept Jesus on the cross. Hello? No sin. No sin. You can hear much other time. It was love. Imagine that when they got to meet Jesus the first day, they said, "My friend, come on, stand here, let me, let me." No, 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 that day Jesus looked at him and said, "Oh my father, why are you forsaking me?" The Bible says that God turned his back because God did not behold his sin. Yesterday, we looked at finishing strong and the strategies that Jesus implemented for finishing strong. One of the secrets of Jesus is love. It is love that makes you long-suffering. In leadership, you cannot lead the people with no love. Until the love of the people sink into your hearts, you will drop the bullet one day because the same people will deal with you. Praise God. Dr. Lewis said, I read it in one of his articles, because an interview in Punch Labor. He said, you must overcome the people God has sent you. That is, you must be able to live with them and love them regardless of what they do. Let me tell you something. See, the enemy will tempt you as a Christian leader to believe that the people you have sent, God sent you to help, the people wants to castigate you. The people Jesus came to say, name him because. Is it not the wrong reason? He said, look at this people, I think they are nonsense. Get out of here. Name him the enemies. The Bible says, pray for those who persecute you. You know, when I, some years back, I decided to sit down and listen. And said, oh, man, you know that there are some people that are speaking. Yes or no? Yes or no? For some people, we spill it. Let me tell you something. The devil will use people to persecute you. The least example for some people is their pastor. Imagine, leader is the one persecuting you. The Bible says, pray for them. If you want to finish this your life assignment and end well, by your end, it's not profitless
If you want to continue living through tough times, to keep in your mind God's promises and to achieve them so that it is not locked up in your mind. No one will lose his that sort, but did not achieve it. No. The Bible says that the people's enemies will come and ask us to. No, as the Bible says. I'd like somebody to read Romans chapter 5 this morning. We'll end up there and then we'll take some prayer points and some questions. Romans chapter 5 this morning. Who's reading for us? Is somebody reading? Hope does not make anyone ashamed.
The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts.
By who? So who sheds the love of God in our hearts? Rise up, my friends. This morning we are going to pray for those that have persecuted us and that are still persecuting us. I hope you remember them. You know, it's not like you remember your enemies. If you say, give me 10 names of your friends, you start thinking, yes or no? Yes or no? But if you say, give me 10 names of your enemies, you don't be listening like, bam, bam, A, B, C, D, E, F. Praise God. Praise God. But the Lord, Spirit of God, release your love into our hearts. Let your love flow out of your life. Open your hands and pray for us. Spirit of God, shed the love of God to fill your mind. Holy Spirit, Lord, now make my heart worthy. Spirit, overflow in my life.
Anyone that has tagged my enemies, I forgive them. I forgive them by the love of God and the shed upon my heart and the Spirit of God. Lay up with my land and the roots in that. In Jesus' scriptures, amen. Listen to me. This is the way to follow Jesus. When you apply God's instructions to your life and you walk in them, you will progress in the things of God. There are many Christians that go to church that are not progressing because they are not applying God's word. That the Spirit of God is revealing and taking them to their house. Hallelujah. I believe liberty has come to somebody today. You're going to pray for yourself. You are going to pray for those people that persecute us. You know some people that are persecuting you. Somebody that went to lie against you somewhere. You had an opportunity to build something, to do one business. Somebody went to spoil it for you. That person has persecuted you. Somebody that puts evil against you. To pray for you. Lord, I remember this person. Pray for them. Open your mouth. Lord, turn this people to you and forgive them. Deliver this person from this attitude. What their names, open your mouth and open your mouth. Mention their names. If you don't believe them, you can't pray for them. So to show that indeed today God's life has come into you and his love has been shared by the Spirit of God in your life. Pray for those that persecute you. Is it your dad? Is it your mom? Is it the people you are leading? You did them good. But they went to stab you at the back. Pray for them. Lord, have mercy upon this man. We will worship. Open your mouth and pray, please. Pray, pray, pray. We are not going to be able to do this. We are not going to be able to do this.
Allah.
Amen.